I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is The Starting Lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors.
Gotta love it!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone Starting Lineup, brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier window and door retailer. Combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. All right, the Jazz have offered Will Hardy a five-year contract. Eventually, I'm a little surprised we have not seen an official announcement from the Jazz as of late, but that is expected here momentarily. I thought we'd see that last night, but eventually you'll see the press release come out from the Utah Jazz that Will Hardy is the new head coach of the Utah Jazz. Now, during this entire process, Hans, I got to imagine that there were a lot of conversations with Will Hardy as well as other potential members of the Utah Jazz coaching staff. David Fizdale now is the assistant general manager for the Utah Jazz. That is expected to be released here pretty soon. But I think that there has been a long, hard look at who the Jazz are from a culture standpoint, where they want to be, what kind of roster they want to develop, what kind of style, who are they going to be. Remember, this is a team in Boston that Will Hardy led last year that essentially said, let's just slide everybody down a position. Marcus Smart's going to be our point guard, and we're going to just be like 6'7", 6'8", across the board, and we're just going to be physical at every point, and they took away a little bit of their size. So there's a lot of different angles in which you can look at, and I think if the Utah Jazz, knowing what they're dealing with right now, and what the landscape of the NBA looks like in terms of what's going on, it's going to be a frenzy of activity starting tomorrow with free agency. Trades are going to kick off here pretty soon. I really think if you're going to see a monumental mix-up of the Utah Jazz roster, you're probably going to see it in the next 72 hours. Like, this is something that either you change your roster and you change who you are now, or you roll with Rudy Gobert and you roll with whoever's on this team going forward. Now, there could be some micro changes here and there, but when we talk about the stars, we're talking about Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And we're talking about significant adjustments to your roster. I think the Jazz have spent the last month or so identifying who they are and what they want to be and whether Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell fit into that mix. And if they do not, one or the other, and they're looking to make a seismic change to their roster, I think it's going to happen pretty quickly. And I think it'll happen. If it does happen, I don't think this is going to be an August 17th move. I don't think this is going to be a September 15th move. I think it's either going to happen in the next 2 or 3 days, or the Jazz will roll with this with these two guys going into the start of the season.
So I feel like you're kind of on the trail of something. Like, I get the sense that there's some energy out there that there is a building belief that there will be a move made.
Well, I think it's a timing thing more than anything. It's just, you look at the frenzy going on right now. Like, Detroit, may have solidified what they want to do at the center position. When you look at free agency, or you look at even trades of that, there's going to be winners, there's going to be losers. And you got GMs out there that are going to need to say to their fan base, like, oh, no, we're doing this. And if they lost out on somebody they wanted, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, like DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix. You know, there was a lot of thought that he was going to go to Detroit. That doesn't appear to be the case anymore. So now Phoenix is like, well, do we sign this guy or do we move him on somewhere else? You know, there's going to be change of plans that people are going to have to adjust on the fly. And if you're the Jazz and if you're going to make a move on one of your guys, now would be the time to do it. So, I mean, we've had that energy out there. That energy's been out there that something's going to go on with the Jazz for quite some time. But my thought is, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen pretty quickly. And if it's not going to happen, then okay, that's fine. But I don't anticipate, if there is a move for the Jazz, that it's going to happen in a month from now or 6 weeks from now. It's either going to be now or you're going to roll with these two dudes going into the season.
So, you know, as we kind of talk about this, obviously the resounding feeling out there is that Rudy Gobert would be the move, that he'd be the change, and that Donovan Mitchell would be the continued future of the Utah Jazz. Do you still feel like that might be the case, or are you saying pretty much anybody's up for grabs?
I think anybody's up for grabs, but, I mean, if you read the tea leaves, it does feel like Rudy Gobert is probably on the outside looking in on this, and that the team's going to go on all in on Donovan. And I think if you're the Jazz, if you're Will Hardy, if you're Danny Ainge, and you're new to this team, you don't know the Donovan warts, or you don't know the warts that maybe Rudy Gobert has. And so you're just like, you know what, we're just going to give, let's say, you know, you move Rudy Gobert, you're like, all right, let's try this Donovan thing for a year. We understand that maybe he's a little moody. Maybe he doesn't want to be here in Utah anymore. Well, let's give him a new coach. Let's give him a new system. Let's make some adjustments to the roster and give it a year and see how it works out, see how it plays out. And then at that point, if both sides are ready to move on, then pull the trigger on a deal. But let's be honest here. Donovan Mitchell's a generational talent. He may not be a guy that can lead a team by himself to an NBA title, but those types of special players don't come around very often. And so I think the Jazz probably feel like they owe it to themselves to try to find if they can have a new staff that, as you've mentioned, can find a way to break into that brain a little bit and say, hey, look, this is what I need you to do to play defense. This is what I need you to do on both sides of the court. And if you do that, I can help you be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think the Jazz probably feel like, hey, look, let's not give up on this yet, because this player is too special just to walk away from.
And when you say this, you mean Donovan Mitchell. Specifically.
Yeah.
I had a couple of thoughts. So with the announcement of this new head coach for the Utah Jazz coming from the Boston Celtics, I was thinking about needing to have that coach that draws the attention of a guy like Donovan Mitchell, where Donovan will stop and be like, wait, I'm sorry, what did you say, coach? Listen intently, internalize it, and then put it out on the court. And I was thinking about this. You know, this is an assistant coach, a very young assistant coach, that's going to be age-wise very relatable to the guys on the court. Not only that, Scotty, he's going to be able to look at every one of these guys and say, you guys want to know how we got to the finals? You want to see? I know how we got to the finals. I was a part of some of the moves, some of the adjustments. It didn't all start easy. It wasn't all smooth. But this is how it originally, or this is how it eventually went. And if you guys can just pay attention, if you guys can fall in line, if you guys can give me your all, we can make those adjustments. And I would expect that a guy like Donovan Mitchell should stop and listen, especially when, I mean, you saw the endorsement that Jason Tatum tweeted out.
Yep.
Jason Tatum tweeted out a solid endorsement of this coach. There were two other Celtic players that were integral into Boston making the move to the NBA Finals that tweeted out and said, this is my guy. And hard to see him. A loss for us, big win for the Utah Jazz. I'm hoping that guys like Donovan, everybody, even Jordan Clarkson, who you know is going to be a part of this team. Jordan Clarkson is kind of, in my opinion, he's kind of an unmovable piece as a six-man winner. And as a guy that can give you instant offense off the bench, he's somebody that you've got to have. These are the kinds of guys that I hope when coach shows up, they stop, they get quiet, and they listen. As far as the trades, the moves, that's interesting, Scotty. So you feel like it's now. It's what?
I feel like
days.
Yeah, three? I know. Honestly, I think that let me preface this, and this is just me like looking at the timeline of events here.
Yeah.
And looking how things play out, I think if something happens, it's going to be very soon. Like I think Thursday or Friday. Because things have to move quickly in this NBA landscape, and if you're going to take advantage of a team that desperately needs or has interest in your player or needs to facilitate another trade, there's opportunities to be had now that won't be available in August. And so if Danny Ainge, in the interview process with Will Hardy, they're sitting around, they're like, look, you know what? It's great what and again, I'm just using Rudy as an example here. You know, it's great what Rudy does for the team, and it's great what he does defensively, but this team has been funneling everything towards Rudy defensively, and he's not giving you anything on the offensive side. This team is stagnated. This is a new day and age of basketball where that position may not be as important, and our value that we could get from him now is way more than what it's going to be a year from now,
yeah,
or maybe even February at the trade deadline. If these two continue to bicker going into the season, that trade value is going to drop step by step by step down throughout the rest of the season. If we feel like we need to make a move, then let's do it right now. And I think the Jazz have spent the last month and a half analyzing, or frankly, the last 2 months, analyzing every aspect of their team. And now that you have your head coach and you have your new culture and your new philosophy, if you're going to make that move, the timing of it just lines up that it would happen very quickly.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, I think that, to put it into terms, and from all my years of experience in a professional locker room and in a college locker room, when you remove a big piece, like let's just say Rudy Gobert, when you remove a big piece that carries a lot of responsibility, and Rudy carried so much defensive responsibility,
yeah.
I could put it in sports terms, but to put it in life terms, you know, my wife, she's a do-it-all woman. Like, she works, she's got all kinds of responsibilities, and she runs the house. Like, she does an amazing job running the house. When she leaves, I have to step up. I got to do everything that she does. And when she leaves, it's like, holy cow, man, I do nothing. When she leaves, I realize how little I do for the kids, how little I do for the house. You know, things start piling up, and I'm looking around like, oh boy, I've got a lot. I've got to do better.
Yeah.
When Rudy leaves, that's going to force Donovan to do better.
Yeah.
It's going to force Donovan to understand what has been done for him for so many years behind him. And I can understand to a Jazz philosophy of, yeah, we would be losing a defensive player of the year three times. We'd be losing our defensive mainstay. But by taking him out of the mix, it forces everybody's hand. There is no more, yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's fun. Quick steps to the inside. Yeah, funnel them. I get it. And this almost dismissal, like, yeah, he'll clean it up. I've got more important things to do. To focusing and realizing, holy cow, we all play our roles or we're busted.
Yeah.
So there's actually a benefit. Like, if it were to be a Rudy Gobert trade, there's a benefit to it. I see some angles of benefit.
Well, and again, to your point too, you do it now, then you got some time to mentally prepare for what you have to be and what you need to do going into the season too. Summer League takes on a different angle, and it also adjusts what you do throughout the rest of free agency. Now, granted, you don't have a lot to work with, but I do think that everything's on the table for the Jazz in terms of Conley, in terms of Clarkson, in terms of Boyan. I think that there is everything's out there right now for the Jazz. And including Donovan. I mean, we're kind of focusing on Rudy, but I think Donovan could be a big piece of this as well.
How crazy would that be if there was a massive trade that came down, as you're kind of projecting, just based off the timeline you've put together? That, you know, to think about, you got a front office guy hired in Fizdale, you got a new head coach hired in Hardy, and then you throw in some blockbuster, monumental trade, it would be one of the most – well, and then you throw in just – in a month's time that Quinn Snyder stepped away from the organization, it would be an absolute frenzy.
Well, we've always had, and Lloyd always makes fun of it a little bit too, because I always joke around, like, by saying that, you know, every offseason could be the most dramatic offseason. You hear the promos running here on the station. But this literally was, going into it, we knew this could be crazy. I think it has the potential to be even crazier than what we thought it was going to be going into it, with Quinn Snyder, with a potential trade, with a complete revamp of this roster. I do think this, and I was having conversations with some people throughout the last several days. The Jazz are not leaving any stone left unturned at this point. Like, they're doing their due diligence. They did it with the coaching search, even though I think a lot of people believe Will Hardy was always going to be the guy. But Will Hardy had to go earn that job. This was not a, hey, well, I'm a Celtics guy, and that's a Celtics guy, and I really like that guy, so I'm going to hire him. Will Hardy was not the guy all along. Like, Will Hardy had to go into that interview process in multiple interviews and knock the socks off of everybody, which he did, and he earned that job. Just because his name was floated out early, and I thought Ben Anderson had a really good point, there's a reason why that guy's name was floated out early, because he's really good, and if he wasn't going to be a head coach this year, he was going to be a head coach next year. And but he did have to go out and earn that job. He did have to go out and absolutely kill the interview, which he did, and to the point where the Jazz are like, shut it all down. We got to go with this guy right now.
You know, Scotty, we had a conversation, maybe it was Monday, maybe it was back in the last week, with, I can't remember if it was a national name or exactly who it was, but talking about Rudy Gobert's worth and how the Jazz perceive it as to how the league perceives it. How do you think that matches up? Do you think the league sees Rudy as the worth that the Jazz see it? Because it's going to be really hard to find the right trade. And I think that the Tribune reported that the Bulls are – I can't remember.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Bulls have been floated out there forever.
Bulls have been out there for a while. But do you think there are teams that would value Rudy to the level that the Jazz are going to value him to actually be able to make a trade possible?
It's a good question, and I think that there are a – like, it's not like – all right, Kevin Durant says, I want to be traded. Every team in the NBA, the other 29 teams are like, hey, Brooklyn, what do you want? What do we have that you
exactly
want?
Exactly.
Like,
let's make it.
There's
make something work.
There are certain players, like Steph Curry says, you know what? It's been fun, Golden State, but I want to trade. And his agent goes, yeah, Steph Curry wants to be traded. Every NBA team is going to call and say, look, what do we have? We know we probably can't get into the sweepstakes, but if there's something you like, you can have it. We'll even throw in the owner's Tesla if you want. Like, whatever you want, it's yours. We want that player. Rudy Gobert isn't that player, and I do think as time goes on, the amount of teams that are going to value him, even with a ridiculous contract, and when I say ridiculous, I just mean an amount, not that it's a bad contract, they're going to look at that contract and be like, that's a big number. There are teams that I do believe would be willing to do that and would be very highly interested in that. It's not 15 teams. It's not 10 teams. It might only be 5 teams. And that number could decrease as time goes on. But I think right now the Jazz, if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm looking at, like, the stock might never be higher than it is right now. Mm-hmm. And so we might need to look at this.
Well, it's going to be an exciting couple of days, because not only that, you've got the Juancho Hernan Gomez contract that's kind of looming, the Nikhil Alexander contract situation that's looming.
Well, that's another thing, too, that I didn't get to, because Juancho, you could trade him tomorrow, and then he can be off your books by the end of the new NBA season. So if a team that's looking to clear salary cap space, that's a really interesting piece that could be a part of a bigger trade.
Which would spur the move
early,
a little bit more early than we would think. It's a busy time for the Utah Jazz. Just kind of sitting on it and thinking about this Coach Hardy move, the more I've thought about it, the more I get excited about it, because I don't want the retread. I did like some potential in-house hiring. I did like the potential of one or two guys in-house, or going to a guy that was in-house that has moved out of house in Johnny Bryant. But this move, it excites me. It interests me, and it excites me. At the very least, it's going to be a showpiece when this season starts.
Oof. There's going to be no lack of interest going into this upcoming season.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.